Right then, the gift of faith is there, but before I start with that, now then, coffee versus tea, all right? Let's have a quick vote. If you were asked now, upper seven at night, I came around and said, do you fancy a cup of tea? Do you fancy a cup of coffee? The tea drinkers amongst you, please stand. Oof, I reckon we're looking at 60 to 70% there. Sit down. The coffee drinkers amongst you, why don't you stand up? Upper seven at night now. Oh, yes. I think we're a 60-40 split. Yeah. Well done. Now then, those who haven't stood up, are you the herbal tea kind of drinkers? Please stand up if you're the herbal tea types. There we go. We got two. Fabulous. Right then. Jocelyn and Linda, you were the first ones up. Now then. I've got a moment of calm here for you, Linda. A moment of calm. Orange, mango and cinnamon. How's that sound? Does that sound good? There we go. You have that then. Oh, Jocelyn, fresh and fruity for you. Echinacea and raspberry. There we go. Enjoy that a little bit later. Why do people drink that stuff? I don't know. Have you heard people even drink peppermint tea? Strange. Anyway, right then. On a Tuesday night, we have our small groups meeting usually, and John Richards loves a cup of tea, right? John is milk with one sweetener. He brings his own sweetener. Carl Griffin, he's a cup of tea man with two sugars and 19 biscuits. He loves a biscuit. Sorry, Carl, I'm embarrassed here in public. Julian, I know, is a black coffee, no sugar. Myself, I'm a coffee milk, one sugar for a coffee. Tea, medium to strong with a level teaspoon of sugar. We've all got our own flavours, haven't we, and how we like things and stuff like that. Well, John is still in. I make John Richards a nice cup of tea on a Tuesday. He likes how I make a cup of tea. But as most of you are aware, I've started working up the building now. All right, Monday to Friday, okay, I'm up here working. And John is still waiting for me to make his first cup of tea. Aww. He's got a long wait. Yeah. He likes a cup of tea. But John has got faith in me, haven't you, John? That one day... I said I will, and one day I will provide the goods. Keep up the faith, because you'll have that cup of tea, all right? Thank you. Okay, well, I've said that to say this. We're looking at the gift of faith this morning, all right? And I just wanted to lead us in with a bit of fun there, all right? We're looking at the gift of faith. So what is faith? If we were to ask, what is faith? What's it all about? Well, Hebrews 11:1 summarizes it nicely for me. It's all there in one sentence, and I like that kind of thing. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And what a powerful verse that is, Hebrews 11, verse 1. And throughout that chapter in Hebrews, there's some real powerful statements made. And of course, this letter is the given proof that it is the man's responsibility to make the teas and the coffees. He brews. That's an old one, but for those who haven't heard that before, you can use that any time you want. Now, that chapter in Hebrews goes on to say that by faith, okay, by faith, the universe, we accept the universe was formed by God's command. That Noah built an ark to save his family. Abraham went to a place that was going to be his inheritance for those family people with him. That Moses' parents had hid him for 3 months because they saw in that child there was something of God upon him. The walls of Jericho fell after the soldiers marched around there 7 times. The prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient in that city. It's through faith, through faith, through faith, that these people acted out of a faith in God. And it's an amazing, I really do recommend you go away and read Hebrews 11. Faith is amazing. And it goes on to say in that verse, in that chapter, I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and all the prophets who conquered kingdoms, who administered justice, who gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. These people were believing in God. And wouldn't we love to shut the mouths of lions sometimes? Brilliant verses in scripture there. And that's just setting the scene of what faith is. What it is to have confidence in God and assurance about what we do not see. Is God interested in lives? Is he interested in humankind? Does he want to speak into our lives? Does he want us to help shape our lives, our futures? Or is God pie in the sky? Is he not interested in the world? Did he make the world in the first place? Did he make the universe? Is he not interested? Or, like the scriptures say, which is God-breathed, is God fundamentally, absolutely wants to be in every little inch and detail of our lives every single day? My faith and belief in Jesus is yes. God wants to be part of every part of my life. And that is the great big balance that each of us have to face at some stage in life. Is there an amazing God out there who created the world, created human beings for a purpose or for a reason? Or is this all one big accident? Mankind is an accident. The world around us is an accident. We can't understand it. It can't be understood, and all the rest of it. For me, I sit on the side of the fence of, I believe in God fully. I have faith, and here we're going to explore what faith means for us as people sitting here today, from all walks, from all different backgrounds, etc., etc. Okay, so this biblical scholar, his name is, he's got a cracking name, Warren Wendell Wiersbe. You'd never say he's American, would you? Cracking name there, three W's, bit of a scholar. He writes, I like this little statement, true Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. What a bold statement that is. That faith operates simply. God speaks, we hear his word, we trust his word, and we act on it no matter what the circumstances or consequences are. Because let's face it, we all go through circumstances in life and consequences of actions every single day. And does God want to be part of that? Can we glean something out of what the Bible says to help us in that process and in that journey? Maybe circumstances are impossible to us. We can't see a way through this. And the consequences of taking a leap of faith or something that we're not sure or confident about may have a frightening or unknown in our minds. We're a bit worried and concerned about this. I want to take you back 18-ish years ago to when Sian and I had first got married at the age of 19, and we lived in Lacha for the first year, and we were there to look after Sian's granddad. That's where we bought the house. Circumstances changed, and about a year later, we ended up considering what it would be to move house. And Cornerstone Church had planted a church up here, Julian and Sarah, and a team of about 8 or 9 people had started this church. And Sian and I had come up here, met together, wonderful warm feeling of people's friendships, but most importantly, of what God was doing in the vision of church, in a vision of this little group of people. And Sian and I talked about it, we considered, and we wanted to be part of what God was doing for our lives. And it was at this stage of time where we just got married and we wondered, what do we do about moving house? Because we wanted to be what was happening up here in the community. We felt it was important to be part of being here physically as well as all, you know, that was going on in the spiritual. So this is where the faith has to kick in. Circumstances would say, why would you move to this area? Why? You know, you're from Llanelli. It's bad enough you move to the other side of the Lacha Bridge, let alone, you know, moving further afield into Swansea. Okay, those are some of the challenges I had from certain people. But it was something of God in it. Now then, I was an apprentice toolmaker. I wasn't rolling in money, all right? I was earning a small wage, and Sian, a self-made entrepreneur, was a beauty therapist, making the lovely women of Swansea and Llanelli even more lovely. All right? So there was consequences now. We had to step out in faith. We had to buy a house, all right? We wanted to move. So we had this mid-terrace house in Lacha, which, you know, we had a mortgage on. We bought the thing. And now a year later, God is really stirring us up a bit now to step out in faith and to move. And of course, we looked for weeks and weeks and weeks, trying to find the right house, something that we could afford, etc., etc. And, you know, we just didn't know if we could do it. Our heart was right. We felt we were pursuing God, but sometimes you've got to rely on God to come up with the goods. And what happened in the process of looking, there's an estate just to the side there, Pen Plas, just around the corner, and they were building a new housing development. And Sian and I, through looking and persevering and having conversations with them, they ended up, we part exchanged our house. And that was the only means of being able to afford a mortgage, the only means of getting us out of that house and into this area It was the only way we could do it. And I was trusting in God. And he gave us a great package to part exchange our house. And instead of us scrimping and saving to get a 5% deposit on this house, amazingly, God worked. And we got something like a 20 or 25% deposit together so that we could afford a mortgage to come up here and serve God and be part of the exciting stuff that was going on here. Great challenge. You know, I talk about it now and I'm excited about it. But I tell you what, when you're in it, when you're in these situations of faith and stepping out, it's a different story. You know, it's tough, it's demanding, you're relying on God. Do I trust God in this or do I not? I'm stepping out in faith here. Is God going to come up with the goods? But when we're operating out of a purpose for God, it's amazing what God achieves. It's not for our own benefit, but God brings our faith levels into perspective and helps us when there's these critical times in life. And it's something I hope God may challenge us with today and speak into our situations with today. So when we're obeying God's word, it's great to know that he's with us and what God does in life is right and best for us. So faith is not some feeling that we manufacture. It's a response to what God has revealed in his word, okay? Now then, I want to look at a different version of the Bible. And this is the King James Version, right? And it says it's the same verse going back to that one. It's the same as that, but a little bit different. There's a few different words used there. It uses two words, and I've highlighted them in blue, substance and evidence. Now, the substance literally means to stand under or to support, okay? So faith to a Christian is what a foundation is to a house. Our faith is what is a foundational part of being a Christian. So it's this whole thing about having confidence in God, hope and assurance about what we don't see, because, you know, we can't see God with our physical eyes, but we have faith in him and what we know through the Bible, etc., and what we see in people's lives, we can work out, you know, what God is about. So when a believer, a person has faith, it is God's way of giving that person confidence and assurance that what is promised will be experienced. So it talks in the Bible that when you become a Christian, you become a new creation. You become a new creation, that the sins and the difficulties that we have in life, that God can help us through them, that he can forgive us, and the relational difficulties that maybe we've been involved in, where we've lost a bit of hope, where we've lost peace, where we've lost comfort in life, God can bring a great amount of peace and hope and stillness into our lives and into our hearts. And that is a tremendous thing that God can do, and I'm sure a lot of us I've experienced that in life. When someone has faith, God can instill faith into our hearts that we can believe and trust in him. And these are promises of God that we can be forgiven, that we can be blessed, that we can have a hope for our futures, that when we die, there's an eternity to look forward to. But what's exciting is that we can know God now and we can belong to the kingdom of God now. God wants us involved in it all. The next thing, evidence, means conviction. It means an inward conviction from God that what he has promised, he will perform. So we have a belief. We have a real strong understanding. We have a desire. Something from our spirit. It's a spiritual thing where now we're trusting in God. And we can have a hope for God, in God, in our future. So moving on a little bit then. The writer of Hebrews makes it clear that faith is a very practical thing, all right? Faith enables us to understand what God does. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see. And as a result, faith enables us to do what others cannot do. Now, trusting in God for faith and trusting in God that he can change things and do things in our lives is a biggie. And for me, before becoming a Christian and after, was a big difference. Because you're living your life on your own, trying to make things happen, make things work. And sometimes circumstances are beyond your control. You can't change them. There's things you might struggle with or circumstances you'd love to change, but you just can't do it. But when, you know, there's this openness to God, you know, we can pray about things. We can trust God. We can allow God to have the opportunity to work in these situations. And it's good to do that. And I'm moving on a little bit. The best way to grow in faith is to walk with the faithful. That's a great little statement there. That as we walk together with a group of people who are full of God's love, of trusting in God for our future as well, overcoming difficulties maybe, when we walk together shoulder to shoulder, we can achieve great things through God and to have faith in him, moving past circumstances that may be impossible, moving past consequences we may feel are frightening or unknown, and into trusting in God. Sarah Meese and I had a humorous conversation in the week. We were talking about beetroot. Right? I had a packed lunch this week which contained couscous and beetroot. Right? Nice, I know you're impressed with that. I put it in the fridge, and I went to get it out on Friday. It was frozen solid. The fridge set, and it was up to number 6, and it was frozen solid. So my beetroot was frozen. So it was like a block of beetroot, which is nice. And that was for my lunch, like, you know, tasty. But this big pile of beetroot, what I did, I defrosted it in the microwave. I tell you what, it wasn't a pretty sight. I got through about half of it, in fairness. And then Sarah did warn me, you know what happens when you eat too much beetroot, don't you? For those who experience that, the stuff that comes out of your body afterwards turns red, basically. All right? That does happen for those who have never eaten beetroot before. And you know what? Sometimes the things, when we're always taking in things and ingesting things and the people group around us, what comes out of us, all right, is what goes in sometimes. So if we're walking with the faithful, what comes out of us is faith. That's what I'm trying to say. That may be a terrible illustration. Shocking, I know. But there we go. I'm trying my best. Anyway. Right. Let's get down to what I'm talking about today. Anyway. The spiritual gift of faith, all right? I'm going to read this to you. This is the verse that we're talking about. I forgot to mention, we're looking at the series of spiritual gifts in God, and this is the spiritual gift of faith, all right, in case you're wondering. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Okay, for some of you may find, oh, well, what's that all about? We're just going to look at the faith side of it for now, okay? And before I go on delving into that a little bit, I've got a clip that I want to show you here now, all right? Now, bear with me. Have a look at it, listen to it, and have a look at the kid's reaction right at the end, okay? Now then, he can't believe it. He's going like that. Did that just happen? And the father goes like that. I haven't got time for that. Right, anyway. Now what I was trying to get out of this, all right, I was wondering how can I sort of explain about the manifestation of the Spirit. And this is something that came on the TV that night. I've never seen it before. I thought that was fantastic. And I knew Robbie Meese would be pleased with that. Yeah, all right. Because he's a real Trek. No, not Trek. He's wrong in Star Wars, isn't he? Yeah, get my sci-fi wrong, you know. Anyway, I was excited about this because when we talk about manifestation, I want to dig into what does that actually mean, okay? And of course, for those who might be familiar with Star Wars, it's like, it's the Force, isn't it? May the Force be with you. And there's the good side and the bad side of it, okay? But sure, you know, the Holy Spirit side of things, all right, is, you know, it's like not the Force. The Holy Spirit is God. He's a He. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. As we pray, as we listen out to God, you know, what does the Holy Spirit want to say and do in our lives? So what does manifestation mean? Well, the Holy Spirit lives within us. And as we know, the Holy Spirit is invisible to our eyes. It can't be seen. But when spiritual gifts operate through someone, through a believer, the presence of the Holy Spirit is made manifest to human senses. So the results can be seen, they can be heard, and they can be felt. What does manifestation mean? An indication of the existence, reality, or presence of someone or something. A form in which someone or something is revealed. A public demonstration. And here we find in the manifestation of the mind and the will of God. Okay, so what are we talking about here? While we were looking through those verses earlier, like the tongues and prophecy and this kind of stuff, when this is happening and it's a gift from God, we can see a glimpse of who God is And we hear things and we see things. And this is God at work. And it's amazing. And we read it as the manifestation of the Spirit and given for the common good, okay? Now, I was quite excited about this to the point where it's a bit embarrassing that I tend to get inspired when I'm in the shower sometimes, all right? And I knew I was in a bit of a world of my own after listening to this because I was in the shower doing that sound with a shower head with the water going on my lips. And I was in a world of my own. And then it suddenly dawned on me, if Sian or someone was outside the bathroom listening to me in the shower doing that sound now, they think there's something wrong with him. I thought, hey, this must be God if I'm making a right idiot of myself. Yeah, you know, this can happen. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is important. It's important to know that God is interested in our lives, to see that God isn't far off and aloof from us, but he is actually interested in seeing humankind know him and know good things about him as well. And that is all for us to know and understand in God. So, from the invisible spirit realm into the physical world of space and time and humankind, God loves to speak into and bring good stuff to us. And of course, these gifts are distributed solely by the discretion of the Holy Spirit, okay? It's not about human will and human achievement and what we know and all this kind of stuff, but it's all about God and what God does and what the Holy Spirit does through us. And they are given to each one for the common good, it says there. Useful, practical, purposeful. So just briefly summarizing some of the gifts, all right, that were through those verses there. There's three gifts of utterance, three gifts of revelation, three gifts of power. The utterance ones are speaking through our vocal organs, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Then the revelation, bear with me, I'm just going to go through these very quickly, is to impart spiritual illumination for us. So there might be a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, or a distinguishing of spirits, what we read about there in the verses, and I'll explain a little bit more. And the bits of power demonstrate God's supernatural power in the real sort of world realm in which we dwell as human beings. So we got the gift of faith, the gift of healings, and the gift of miracles, okay? And tonight we got like a healing calf, and we've seen God heal people. It's amazing. God at work today in a real way. So the gift of faith is first of the three gifts of power. It is sovereign. It is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit through believers, all right? So that's one point. The next thing I want to look at very quickly is two examples of Jesus and the challenges he made to the disciples, to followers, that coincide with Jesus' own display of faith, okay? So the first little bit is from Mark 11 and Matthew 21, two Gospels in the New Testament there, where Jesus curses a fig tree, okay? He goes to get some figs. The fig tree doesn't give him any. He curses it, all right? The next day, they'd all traveled from Bethany to Jerusalem. The next day on the journey back, Peter sees that this fig tree is now withered and has died, all right? And Peter says, that fig tree that you've cursed has withered. But what I want to focus on now is what Jesus says next. Have faith in God, he says in verse 22. Have faith in God. The normal English translation, that's what it means, have faith in God. But in its literal form, it means this, have God's faith. Have God's faith. And here we have a flip side of actually understanding that when we have faith in God, it is something that has come out of God's own heart for us and for the situation. It's amazing, really, when we think about it and consider it, that God can really encourage us in these situations and give us faith for special times. This faith that we see here is that of a gift. It's not originated in man, but it's originated in God. It is an aspect of God's own eternal nature, a gift of faith, which the Holy Spirit imparts a portion to us for circumstances. So in saying, have God's faith, Jesus challenged the disciples to receive and exercise this kind of faith as he himself had done. And I think that is a challenge for us today, to have God's faith in situations. And he went on to tell them that with this faith, they could be able to accomplish much. And I believe for each of us here that God wants us to accomplish much in life. To accomplish much as a group of people and as individuals, that we can allow the Holy Spirit to impart truth to us, encouragement and faith to see God at work in our lives day to day and in our futures and all the rest of it, okay? So in Matthew 21:21 says this, Jesus replied, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. Now I've always wondered, what's the point of throwing a mountain into the sea? What's that all about? Well, you know, it's no use to me. I don't know if any of you want to move a mountain into the sea. I don't know. But it's a lesson in faith from Jesus. Moving mountains was a common sort of Jewish metaphor, okay? And it was a Jewish metaphor for accomplishing what was difficult or virtually impossible. Now, I want you to consider just for a moment, myself, is there a mountain in your life at the moment? A difficult situation, something that seems virtually impossible. So what Jesus is saying, have faith in that situation, that God can impart faith for this mountain to be moved and replaced. It can happen. God can do things and achieve things in our lives where we feel is impossible, where we feel, I just haven't got the energy, I haven't got the right words, I can't physically do this. God can move mountains. Pray. Have faith. God can change things. God can change things. The second little bit I want to look at is in Luke 8:22-25. And here, there's a storm in the Lake of Galilee, and the disciples have gone out with Jesus. Jesus is sleeping, all right? There's a storm that comes up, and the disciples they're scared. They're worried. They think they're going to die. They're flapping now. Have you ever seen someone stressed and worried and anxious? The term we used in work was, they're flapping, all right? They're flapping about, you know, what are we going to do kind of thing. And of course, they wake Jesus up. So Jesus gets up, and he calms the storm. And the storm stops, and there's an authority about Jesus which calms the storm. So from turbulent, stormy environment to a peace and a calm, okay? A peace and a calm. And that's what happened. That faith, the faith that Jesus exercised was not of a human level, but it was of a God level, okay? That wind and waters are not under man's control, but that Jesus somehow, that through prayer and authority and faith, that storm stopped. Do we have any storms today in our lives? Do we have a relational storm? Do we have a financial storm? Do we have a job situation storm? Do we have a study storm? Do we have a family storm? There's so much we can do practically and be wise and be, you know, in our actions, that is important. But sometimes there needs to be that spiritual breakthrough which God can do. And have faith in God, that God can impart faith into our hearts to get out of this. Jesus asked his disciples, where is your faith? Where is it? In other words, why couldn't you have done that instead of me? That's what he was saying. It's amazing, really, isn't it? That as people, we can have such a download of God within our lives where we can have faith to see things changed and challenged and God in the mix of it. So in a moment of crisis, fear gripped the disciples' heart and excluded faith from them. Fear does challenge faith. Is there any of us here this morning who are afraid about something? Afraid about something, fearful about a situation, something they don't think God can do anything about? Because our fear can cripple us and it can stop our faith. But God whispers into our ears, have faith. Because faith banishes fear. And that is the great flip side of what God wants to do in our lives, is to have faith, which casts out the fear amongst us. And of course, we're human beings. We get afraid about things. But as God is working in us and helping us, you know, we can see fear disperse from us and faith instead taking first place. So mountains and storms. So God retains the initiative, all right? God retains the initiative. To another miraculous power, moving on, verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, I just want to have a look at that very briefly in closing there. That when supernatural faith is given for a specific situation to meet specific needs, it still remains under God's direct control. This is where we've got this impartation of God's own faith. He gives it at his discretion. You know, he loves to give things, good gifts, just like all these supernatural gifts that have been highlighted in these verses. And there's a key phrase here that's used. It's as he determines, or in the King James Version, as he wills. God himself determines when and to whom he will impart each of these gifts, so it incorporates everybody, you know, that there's something for everyone to work together as individuals and as a group of people, and that the initiative is with God. So, for example, Jesus didn't curse every fig tree. He didn't calm every storm. He didn't call every dead man out of the tomb. He didn't walk on all bits of water. He didn't turn all water into slur. Sorry, the Bible says wine, but I know some people prefer slur to wine. All right? God can achieve great things through us, that he can instill great gifts into us, which we can use and stir up and see God at work. It's amazing stuff. And similarly, going back to the house move for me and Sian, it was, I believe, an imparted gift from God to have faith over that situation. And when you see it unfold in your life, boy, does that help you understand that God is at work and is real and is alive. Okay. Now, I have a few more things to say there, but I think I will say it very quickly. 2 minutes. Pictured as a mustard seed, the gift of faith is similar to two of the revelation gifts, a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. Wisdom is directive, knowledge is informative. God has all wisdom and knowledge, but doesn't burden us with all of it. So in a situation where we need direction, he supplies a word of wisdom, just like a mustard seed out of his own store. Where we need information, he provides a word of knowledge, a little bit of help, a little mustard seed out of his own total store. And it's similar with a gift of faith. God has all faith, but doesn't impart all of it to us. In a given situation where we need faith on a higher level than our own, God provides a mustard seed out of his total store. And I think, to me, that speaks so much, that God can give out of his abundant store, that he just wants to say to us, listen, guys, I am with you, I am for you, trust in me. Maybe you don't see things now. Maybe you don't see it happening around you now, that mountain, that storm, but I can work in it. I can work in it. I can work in it. And he gives us that little sprinkling, that little mustard seed of faith to hold on to and to see being outworked as the days and the weeks go by. And those are great times of trusting in God. So this morning, you know, let's have faith together. In those situations, those storms and those mountains where we need a gift from God, you know, let's ask God, let's not be afraid. We can ask things of God, and he likes to give things, good things. And really, that is just the gift of faith unpacked in a little bit. There's so much to talk about with faith. And I think I probably said more than enough now. But, you know, let's be encouraged as a group of people that God wants to be involved in our lives, that he doesn't want to let us go. He doesn't want us to live lives without him. You know, why do that? Why bury our heads in the sand and pretend God doesn't exist? Let's allow God to be at work in our hearts and in our lives and in the day-to-day. Okay?
Yeah. That's tremendous word, wasn't it? There's so much in there. You could do like a whole day seminar on faith. But I know it really spoke to me when you're talking, and in the church, in our own lives, we've all gone on a tremendous journey of faith. But there's always something new, isn't there? And so I think we'll pray before God. I'd like you to stand. If there's something in your life that you responded to when Adam was speaking, you think, yeah, I got a storm that I need faith for, or there's a big mountain in my life I need faith for. There's some kind of faith issue in your life right now. If you'd like to stand, I'm standing as well, and I'm going to invite Adam to pray for us. So if that's you, there's something you would like the gift of faith for. If you stand now, we're going to pray for you.
Okay. Yes, Lord, we thank you that these gifts that you have for us, Lord, that you know, they're in the Bible for a reason, and they're there to help us, Lord, for the benefit of us as individuals and as a group. And Lord, we stand together. Each of us has our own individual needs at the moment, Lord. And there's situations and circumstances in our life that maybe we just can't do on our own or manage on our own. And I ask, Lord, that you would impart faith into us right now in Jesus' name. That Holy Spirit, that you would manifest your love and your compassion, and that in these situations, Lord, which need a touch of you, that you would work in it now in Jesus' name. That by having faith, Lord, we can see things change. That by your touch, you can change things, Lord. You can adapt things in Jesus' name. And Lord, we stand before you today, open-hearted, open-handed, as people, fallen people, we have our difficulties, we're selfish, we like things our own way, all the rest of it, Lord. But we want to pray your wisdom into these situations, Lord, that it's about you, it's about wholeness, it's about knowing the touch of the ever-living God into these situations and into our hearts. And Lord, each of us have different experiences of you in life. Perhaps different experiences of what the supernatural is and what it is for you to work really in life. We're all from different backgrounds, Lord. But it's an opportunity now to acknowledge you, Lord, in these situations and in our hearts. Be with us, Lord, and be for us this morning now as we stand in Jesus' name. Amen.
And yes, Lord, as we stand before you, Lord, every person who is standing, I just want you now to sort of put that mountain or storm up to God. And Lord, we pray that you will come down with that gift of faith, the supernatural gift of faith that is the hope of things that are not yet seen, but the confidence of knowing that you are going to act on our behalf. So I pray, Lord, for every person here standing, that you will deposit that gift of faith, that faith will rise in us, and that we know that the impossible is possible with you. So Lord Jesus, we pray, we stand before you, deposit that gift in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.